Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
I don't know what I'm doing. Is it turned on? Okay. The 16th chapter of Genesis. I'm going to read something a little different here. 16th chapter of Genesis, if you'll turn with me there. The 16th chapter of Genesis. We're going to use this along with the 17th chapter of Genesis. We've already read the first one. So I'm just going to read this one real quick. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had no handmaiden. And she had an handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto thy handmaid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her handmaid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Now, I would like for us to just look at the 17th chapter, and you don't really have to turn to it. I just want to just read one verse here. Let me just read 1-7. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your thought toward us, and we thank you for everything that we don't understand, because your word will make it plain. And we thank you because we know that your spirit will continue us in your truth until the truth has made us free. And so as we hear your word today, God, we pray that it would fall on good ground, and that it would be established in our hearts, and that our deeds would be established in your word, and that you would continue us in your truth, and your truth make us free. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Let us be seated in the presence of the Lord. And today I want to talk from the subject, don't move too fast. Don't move too fast. Don't move too fast. This is something I can say all day to myself. Don't move too fast. Because it doesn't matter how I know things are going to work out. Doesn't matter what God has said. It doesn't matter what I believe. Sometimes I move too fast because I feel like what I'm waiting on hasn't come and God needs my assistance. And I shouldn't feel that way. But we all tend to get there. Raise your hand if you've ever been that way. God needs my assistance. And now I go from plan A, which is what he has said to me, to plan B, which is what I think I can do to get God's ball rolling. So this morning I want to talk about don't move too fast. I was listening to something yesterday and somebody started talking about Sarai and Hagar. And I thought, oh man, really? That's right where I am right now. Because I've been praying and talking to the Lord and saying, listen, this is what you told me. And now I'm trying to get all the eggs in the basket and do exactly what you said because I'm trying to be right where you want me to be. But in reality, God doesn't need us to be anywhere when he's moving, right? He didn't need us in a particular place when he started speaking. He just needs you to be available, right? Prayer does that, right? When I spend time with him in prayer, I'm available to hear and also be heard. So now that I know that something's about to happen, I'm like a kid waiting for Christmas time. I can't wait. And sometimes that's what I pray. I don't know how y'all pray, but that's what I pray sometimes. Lord, I can't wait till you do what you said. I can't wait. I'm just ready. And you know I'm ready. Last week I told him I'm like a prancing horse in the stable. Can you please open the door? That's what I said. Because I've been waiting on something and the anticipation is heavy. But just because God hasn't moved doesn't mean I've been forgotten. And what happens is we start waving our arms at the Lord as if to say, hey, did you remember you said something to me? My mama used to hate that. She would hate when she would say something and then we're going to have oranges for snack. And this is Tammy. This is me. Mom, what time are we having snack? Mama, didn't you say we could have an orange? Mama, what time can I get my orange? My mama already hungry, it's snack time. And then when the time came around, I had worried her so much that she would literally make me wait. Right, because I had gotten on her nerves. And it wasn't so much about the fact of whether if I could have the orange or not. It was the fact of be patient. Trust me. What I said I was going to give you, I'm going to give it to you. I just need you to be still. Because what you're doing is, when we do that with God, we're moving outside of faith, right? Because faith is trust. It's not just believing, but it's trusting. The Bible says that we've each been given the measure of faith, right? The measure of faith is not a whole lot, but there's something in every one of us who believes that there is some kind of God or creator in the universe, right? That's the measure. The measure is that you have enough to know that you didn't get yourself here. Now, some of us get confused and we say it a different way. But if you hit us with a car, we say, oh, God, right? So it always goes back. So what happens is we've all gotten the measure of faith. Everybody has the measure. We have enough to know that we didn't get here by ourselves. We have enough to know that we're not in this by ourselves. We have enough to know that I have to think outside of the box that I'm in to get anything done, right? So we all have the measure of faith. And Jesus made it simple. I don't even need you to operate with a whole lot of faith. Listen, just the faith the size of a mustard seed. If you just got that tiny little itsy bitsy bit, you know, that it doesn't have to believe outside of the measure, but what it has to do is hold on and know that what I said is going to happen. Can you just hold on? Can you just wait till snack time? Can you know that oranges are already in the refrigerator? And I'm going to give them to you if you just give me a minute, right? And so, as I'm thinking about Abraham, Hagar, and Sarai, God had a relationship with Abraham, right? And God had talked to Abraham and told him, Abraham had believed God. He had had beyond the measure of faith. He believed what God had said. So he was God's friend, and God told him, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to do that. And in order to do that, of course, he had to use Sarai. You know, that was the wife. Whether she was a part of the conversation or not, she was a part of the plan. And so what happened was Sarai started aging. And as time went by, she was not able to produce any children. Let me say it like this. She had not produced any children. She was barren, right? Until God spoke, right? Because in reality, it doesn't matter if you don't have what people say you have to have what God said you're going to have. As long as he said it, you're going to get it, right? So she looked barren, right? Because she had not produced, but God said she would, so she could produce. She was just waiting on time, right? So what happened was she got discouraged. And she felt like, I'm getting old. You know, I can imagine things wasn't going the way they had been. Maybe she had reached menopause. Maybe she had gotten wrinkles in her hands and in her face. Maybe her hair had started going gray. And she knew when people weren't having children anymore. And now she's the measure of faith. She's held on to it. And I know she held on to it because she went to plan B. See, people who have plan B, it doesn't mean you don't have faith. It just means that you're not allowing yourself to grow in it, right? You're not allowing your faith to grow. That's what it means. So you got enough faith to know something gonna happen, but I'm gonna assist God. See, sometimes we want to be God's assistant, his secretary, you know, and we want to go ahead and get things rolling. So when God show up, he know we already did it because we had faith. You know, and what God really needs us to do is just to be available. Because I was reading something that was very interesting. It said that sometimes when seasons move in, if a season has moved in on the right date, because we were the ones who created these dates, right? But if a season moves in on the right date, and people have seeded clouds and done all kind of things to kind of help the seasons along. If it really doesn't line up with what's happening in the total universe, we literally will begin to blossom too soon in the spring. How about that, right? If you move too fast, you will mess up your harvest. You'll mess up everything. And so what happens is if you start blossoming too quick, what happens is you lose a crop. You lose the crop. Because it came in the winter, it started snowing, you know, it messes up everything. We know how that goes, right? Stuff in the grocery store gets expensive. So what happens is God is not always waiting on you. You're not always waiting on him, but sometimes things are lining up. We don't really know what it is, right? We just start moving because we think God needs our assistance. And so God said, I'm going to give you a son. You're going to be the father of many nations. In order to be the father of many nations, you have to have children. He hadn't had any children, and somehow she felt responsible for what God was going to do. She felt responsible for what belonged to God. There are some things, y'all, that's only within God's power. Give God a hand of praise for that. Amen. There are some things that only God can do. And so, if you haven't been able to bear children, if you haven't been able to give birth to what you wanted, what you've been waiting for, if you haven't been able to bring forth the promise, that's enough to let you know that it's out of your hands. This thing is about what God is doing. It's about lining up, but you can't line you up, right? Because I just told you that if you start messing with the atmosphere, getting ready for fall, you literally can throw everything off for spring. You literally can mess up the summer. And you can literally mess up the next fall when it's time to have a harvest. And so what you have to understand is when you're waiting on what God's plan is. And so Sarai, thinking that she's getting old, decided to go ahead and say, listen, I have this handmaid. She loved her husband. She didn't want him to miss it. She was being supportive. Really, she was. And she said to him, you know, Hagar's in there, and you really can go over here and have a baby with her. Abraham wasn't smart, right? He wasn't gonna say no. He didn't second guess it. The scripture didn't say he waited, hesitated, said, "Let me see about it, honey. It ain't no need. We'll just wait on the Lord." He said, "Okay," and he went into the room where she was, and eventually she got pregnant, and they conceived a son. The sad thing about this is that Sarai had put herself in a place. She had put herself in a place where she didn't want to be. Now she was waiting on God to move, but moving to plan B now put her in a place of inferiority. Because now this woman has had sex with her husband, right? He's been with her husband. And so for all of us in here, we know that that's the nightmare, right? But he's been with her. And now the thing that she's been waiting for and praying about, someone else now embodies. Have you ever had an experience where you knew you were waiting on the Lord, but you wanted to help somebody else and you saw them flourishing while you were still waiting? Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me where I gave away something that I knew the Lord had given to me. It was a small piece of it, and I had written it down, and somebody had a plan, and I took it and I shared it with them because I thought I could bless them. But it wasn't time for me to take that thing that God had given me and put it out there. I needed to hold on to what God had given me and wait on the promise because he had said something to me. It didn't mean that I didn't mean well by anybody else. It didn't mean I didn't want to support anybody else. It just simply meant that I should have been still and not moved too fast. But sometimes we move too fast. Sometimes we start doing things because we feel like we've got to do something to bring God's plan to pass in our life. And what we have to understand is when God has made us a promise, when we know that God is going to do something for us, we've got to be able to stand still and trust him enough to know that what he has said, he's going to perform it. He's going to bring it to pass. He's going to help us with it. And so she sent him in with Hagar, and they produced the baby. And the Bible says that as soon as she got pregnant, she began to look at Sarai with contempt. Now things change. Sometimes when we mess with our situation too fast and get to messing with stuff, things change on us. Wherein we look like we were moving in favor, now it looks like everybody is acting funny. The situation ain't working like we need it to. You know, because we begin to dabble in things that we should not touch. And what's true is that when you start messing in plan B, you can literally mess up plan A, except for the fact that God does not allow you to mess up his plan. God will bless you not based on what you've done, not based on what you said, but based on what he said and his intent toward you. Amen? And because of that, we don't lose, but sometimes we delay ourselves, right? Because when I look at this situation, I can see how if God were going to move right there in that time, that would have created a delay. Can you see that? It would have created a delay. Because now there were so many emotions going on in there. There was so much going on in that situation to the point that it wasn't the time for Sarah to be pregnant. Because Hagar had already been pregnant. So it wasn't time for God to move. When we get to our plan B, what we have to understand is that when we start messing and doing our own thing, we can literally stop what God is doing. Do y'all understand that? If you agree with that, give God a hand of praise. If you start messing, you can literally stop what God is doing. Literally, you got to get out the way. Your plan B can stop your progress. Your progress is not based on how fast things are moving, but your progress is based on what God is doing. When was the last time we actually saw everything God was doing? When was the last time something happened in your life and you looked at it and you said, "You know what? When that happened, I questioned it, but God used that in my favor." When was the last time that happened to you? Right? Sometimes we look at things and we say, "No, I'm not going to do this." And it happens to us anyway. And it was the very thing we needed to get us to the next place. Don't call things a curse when you know that God is working in your life. Allow yourself to know that all things work together for our good. Don't receive things in your life when you're waiting without prayer. Why? Because the enemy will send things around just like the Lord will, right? And there are times that we want it so bad, we're our own worst enemy, right? We just start pulling things in, and it's not good for us. So you have to make sure that you stay with God's will. How do we do that? Through prayer, patience, with faith. We have to stay faithful and committed. And because she did that, the situation began to be unbearable. Hagar was in contempt. Abraham said to her, do whatever you want to with your handmaiden. She's yours. And so she sent her away, but God sent her back. And so what am I trying to say? Because I'm not going to be before you a long time. We know that God came back at some point and reestablished his covenant and then performed it. But like Sarah, I want to give you 3 points. Like Sarah, number one, don't move too fast. Understand that God is going to do exactly what God said God is going to do. That's point one. He's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. It may not look like it. It may not feel like it. It may be dragging on for some years. Everybody else may have had their babies. If you told folk, they might say, I thought you said you was going to move. I thought you said you was going to buy a car. I thought you said you was going to expand your ministry. I thought you said y'all were going to go and help and do missionary overseas. People can say a lot of things to you, and it'll make you feel like you have to do something. But listen, don't worry about it. God is going to do what God said he will do. Amen? And then point number two, he's going to breathe a new wind into you and your situation so that you will have the energy and the strength to fulfill his promise. One of the things I want you to do is to look back and see what happened here in 17. In chapter 17, it says, fifth verse, it says, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I said, Lord, because I know everything you do, we always can see it. We can see what God has done if we just look. And so I began to just look around to see, how did you do that? Because now you have these people who are like in their 90s, who are having babies. And I went back and I looked at the Hebrew alphabet. I don't even remember how I got there. You remember when we did this. And when we look back at the Hebrew alphabet, what we saw was that the H sounds like breath, right? So Abram became Abraham, and Sarah became Sarah, which to me means that God breathed into their name, right? And when he breathed into their name, he gave new life. New generation, he regenerated these people. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that sometimes it's just by words that God will speak to you. Words he can say into your name, where he will give you a fresh wind to accomplish what God has given you to accomplish. What God has given you will not arrive too late. It's going to be right in God's time. You know, back in the day, I used to be a hooping and hollering preacher. And oh my gosh, I could hold my ear, girl, yeah. And it was enjoyable. But today I like to just say things, and I don't want to say too much. I just want to say enough to get you thinking, right? Because it's a serious thing when we're waiting on the Lord. You don't need a lot of words for that. Raise your hand if you're waiting on God for something. And if we're waiting on the Lord, you don't need a lot from Tammy, because I'm waiting too. That's why my hand's still up. I just told y'all, I told him to open the door. Can you please open the door? I actually have imaginations where I wish I could just go open the door myself. That's how bad I want it. But it's timing. And so I'm almost finished. That's why I'm saying that to y'all. But as I'm finishing, think about what I'm saying. It's not going to be too late. I said to God last week, I'm 47.
And what you said to me happens to people who are in their 30s, in their 20s. And I'm getting old. And I said it so long ago, people used to ask me questions. And then nobody asked me anything. But I see the everything changing. I see the I see the atmosphere developing into something that shows me what God said is literally about to come to pass. And I'm saying, did you literally wait this long? Did you literally wait till I got to this place? Yes, he did. Because there are times when God will move on you and you have to say, and everybody else around you has to say, that was nobody but God. That it was not about her, it was not about her strength, it was not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. And so I'm telling you, we have to wait on the Lord, because he's not going to be too late. He will breathe new life into us so that we will be able to receive and do and carry out his plan. And then the last thing I want to say to you is that he will replace your tears for laughter. See, because Sarai was crying, this woman looked at her with contempt. This woman had her feeling vexed. But then when God came back and reestablished his covenant in the 17th chapter, Sarai began to laugh. And she said, can an old lady like me have a baby? She began to believe again. Because when she heard it, it sounded so crazy. She believed God so much that she knew it was going to happen. And so she started laughing. And God went to Abram and said, Sarah was laughing, but is anything too hard for God? He let him know, yeah, I want to ask you, is anything too hard? But your wife was left laughing. God will take what we've been going through in our tears, and he will turn it into our laughter. He will take what we felt in grief and make it our happiness and our joy. The thing that has been unstable for us will become our stability. If you don't mind, Sonya, I had a conversation with Sonya last week. And as I was thinking yesterday, you were exactly who I thought about. Because the very thing that kept you crying is now catapulting you forward into where you want to be. The very thing that was your shame and your sorrow is now becoming your ministry. The very thing that had you running is now amongst people finding stability. And that's what God wants to do for us. He wants to take what seems like nothing in our life and make something out of it. It won't mean anything to anybody else, but it's going to mean everything to you. And God wants to give you an experience where you will know how much he loves you. So the experience will be personal. It's the thing that you can't bear that God is going to use to plant your feet. So understand that the things that you're going through right now are just seeds. They're just seeds. The Bible says that for as long as the earth endures, there will be seed, time, and harvest. And so you're producing all these seeds, right? And then comes the time, but God will give you a harvest. Amen, church. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Don't move too fast. Don't allow yourself to get caught up in the hype. Don't feel so driven by, I gotta have it, you said it, I know it, that you miss allowing God to move how God wants to move. Amen. If you want to pray today and just say, Lord, man, I really have been kind of tossed and turned by this, but I really want you to settle my spirit. Not so that I forget it, but just so that I can wait. Just reestablishing me that what you said is true and it will come to pass.